Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, the Defence Forces have begun internal proceedings in relation to a serving soldier who pleaded guilty to beating a woman in a random street attack for which he received a fully suspended sentence. Natasha O'Brien was beaten unconscious by soldier Cathal Crotty, who boasted about it on social media and walked free from court this week. Before we came on air, I spoke with Natasha O'Brien about the devastating impact this savage assault had on her life, and I began by asking her to describe what happened on the night of the attack.
Yeah, so I was on my way home from work with my friend, and we were walking up to get a taxi home together. We noticed this group of males in front of us. They were shouting across the street at a young lone male, quite homophobic slurs. They seemed very aggressive, and we were just kind of minding our own business. But then, you know, we were filtering through them, and we just politely and nonchalantly kind of, ah, lads, come on now, don't be calling anyone a, you know. And yeah, it was just met with extreme aggression. And before I knew it, I was getting held by the head of hair. It held like a punching bag, just being punched repeatedly into the face. I literally didn't even feel human. And yeah, I ended up hitting my head off the ground. My friend was screaming for help. As she was screaming for help, a lovely male ran down to rescue, pulled him off me while I was unconscious because he wasn't stopping.
And that then, quickly, it happened. So you were stopping a homophobic search. Did you see Cathal Crotty coming towards you?
So we were behind him originally, and then they were kind of sauntering along the street, along, and we were kind of passing in the middle up past them. So I suppose it was just the aggression and we were just afraid this guy's by himself. This is a group of guys, you know. There was really nothing to it. We were just passing them, and we were on our way to the taxi, and all of a sudden I was just being punched over and over again in the face.
Did you plead with Cathal to stop?
I did. I was on the ground. I remember saying, please stop. And, you know, the last thing I remember, as I was losing consciousness, I just remember thinking, he's not stopping. He's going to kill me. I just really feared for my life in that moment. And had it not been for the male passerby that intervened, I may not be here today speaking about this. But for me, it's not what's happened to me. It's not that I was attacked and I'm not getting, I feel that, you know, I've been overlooked by the system of justice. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that this is far more prevalent. And it's the fact that when I walked out of the courtroom, yeah, I was very, very disappointed. I was horrified. I was absolutely.
You spoke really powerfully, I think, afterwards. Mm-hmm. And can I come to that in just a second? But for people who haven't been following it, I want to outline to them, with your permission, the full extent.
Yes.
Of the impact
Absolutely.
Of this on you physically and mentally, if that's okay, Natasha.
My physical injuries were absolutely devastating. Like, I had a severe concussion, a broken nose, as well as severe swelling and bruising on both arms, shoulders, head, right hip, left eye, just my swollen jaw. You know, I spent the following weeks in and out of hospitals and doctor's appointments, just, you know, and then due to serious persisting concussion, I actually was deemed high risk for a brain bleed and got a bit of a scare about a month later. So I had to go get a head CT scan and a battery of tests. And, you know, it was a pretty frightening time. Like, I wasn't sure how, I didn't know what was going to happen. Like, concussion, like, I think it lasted for up to the concussion lasted for about 3 months. You know, I was just blacking out, getting blackout spells, nausea, just.
Mentally,
yeah,
then.
Of course.
How did it
course.
Impact you psychologically?
Mentally, yeah, psychologically. This is the issue, though. The physical scars, they go away. Sometimes they go away in some cases, but usually the mental doesn't. The psychological, you know, it left me in a place of darkness. And I've been suffering with symptoms of PTSD, have had to attend multiple therapists since the attack. There's just a sense of constant dread and isolation. It was like unlike anything I'd ever experienced. And I just ended up spiraling into self-destructive behaviors. I lost all interest and motivation for life. Just even basic tasks at work, it just became incredibly difficult. And I loved my job. And,
really?
You know,
And you never felt like that before. What do you mean, or can I ask you, about the self-destructive behaviours?
Barely able to put one foot in front of the other and just constantly not dealing with reality. I wasn't able to cope with reality. And so I would do whatever I could to just avoid my reality. And whether that was staying in bed for days, or that was getting a bottle of wine, you know, it was just, I just didn't really want to even think about what would happen, but I almost couldn't avoid the flashbacks and the thinking about it. But I just did anything I could to just dissociate completely.
Okay, it's the mind's way of protecting you, I suppose, or trying to. Do you still get flashbacks?
I pushed it all away. I pushed it all down. I mean, obviously having to walk into that courthouse brought it all back up again, of course, you know. But yeah, it comes and goes. I think it's something that will always stay with you.
How difficult was it to go to court?
That's really, I didn't anticipate how difficult it was going to be. My detective, the Garda Carroll, he rang me last week to inform me that, you know, there was a sentencing happening on Wednesday just passed. And I hadn't even anticipated that there would be a sentencing. I didn't even know if it would get heard in get to the courts. So I was almost in shock that, oh my God, something's actually happening. So I was so grateful that anything was happening at all, that, you know, I was really looking forward to it. And then I went to, you know, write my victim impact statement. I spent a lot of time, and that's when it all started to, I brought it all up, and I really had to relive it because I knew that the judge needed to hear the impact it had on me. And,
can I ask you, why did you put so much work into the victim impact statement?
I mean, I had to really open up all those feelings that I've been trying to box away, and all those memories that, you know, I've blacked out, and they just come up, and, you know, I felt the need to speak up and take a stand against violence, essentially, mm-hmm. because I am reading headlines all the time, and headline after headline, violent convicted walks away, suspended sentence, violent convictions walks away, you know, and innocent, vulnerable, non-provoked, it's all these words, you know, and it's just constant. And I just said, they just don't, like, maybe the victims aren't explaining how hard it is, but okay. I have to.
So I understand. So you went to that place of darkness for you that you had repressed for so long, in order to make the court fully realise, you say, what happened to you. And it wasn't how was it then to go to court with your very difficult story, having the impact it had on you, to walk past your attacker? What was that like, and in court and give your story?
I mean, I wasn't sitting in the car before I went into the courthouse itself that morning, and I couldn't get out of the car for 15 minutes. I was just frozen. Like, every male of similar stature to the person that attacked me, I was like, oh my God, is it him? Is it him? I just was like, oh, I just couldn't believe how much I felt like that punching bag all over again, you know?
How did you feel when you saw him in court?
I don't even have words. It was just, I couldn't even look. It was terrifying.
And then we get to the part where the judge hands down the sentence. And he was ordered to pay €3,000 without prejudice to any civil case that may happen, but a fully suspended sentence of 3 years, but fully suspended.
At the end of my victim impact statement, as I sat before the judge, I looked up at him and I told him that I consider myself incredibly fortunate to be here today, to have my voice heard, and I'm lucky to be alive. And I told him that I believe the male passerby who intervened saved my life, as the male passerby had pulled him off me. He wasn't stopping. And I told the judge, I am here to seek justice, and not just for myself, but to protect others from the violence and malice that I experienced. And from that statement alone, I don't feel that I received any justice, and I don't feel that the Irish public the citizens of Ireland have received justice. I think it's really, really let down victims in the system of justice.
Yeah. I mean, you were there, you heard the judge say that his fear that imposed a custodial sentence, that it may have repercussions for Mr. Crotty's job. He said he had to take into account that he had no previous convictions and his army career and so on. I mean, what do you feel when you hear that?
I have to bite my tongue. I thought, like, why on earth would you be worried about interfering with a future career when the career is a soldier that pledges to protect citizens of Ireland? Hmm? That was what gave me that outrage, you know, it's really, really shocking.
Can I ask you, Natasha, as well about the Defence Forces? They said they commend the bravery of the victim of you in this case and hope for her full recovery from the injuries sustained. They say they unequivocally condemn any actions by serving personnel that are contrary to or do not reflect our values, they say. Any conviction in the civilian court may have implications for the retention and service of members of the Defence Forces as stipulated in the Defence Forces regulations. And once due process has been completed in a civilian court of law, it becomes a matter for the relevant Defence Forces authorities in accordance with their regulations. What do you make of that?
I feel that because I spoke up, they cannot continue to look the other way. They were forced to pay attention. And it's sad that I had to go through this for somebody to pay attention.
Can I ask you finally, and if you could sum up then, if you had a message generally for people listening or anyone listening about the attack and your experience in the judicial system, what is that message?
I think I'm not speaking up because I'm upset that I didn't get my justice. You know, that's really not what my anger is about, that why I'm upset. I'm really upset that I watch all these headlines and all the victims, they're anonymous to me, or, you know, I don't know them. And I just see all these different headlines and it's like constant convicted walks free. And it's just, it's really frightening to be as a member of our nation, to be walking around knowing that these people are not reprimanded when they cause harm to others. You know, there's no real consequence, I don't feel. I think I'm just so afraid of the message that this sends, that it's okay to do this because, you know, you just have to behave for a year or two. That's all. That's the problem, the message that this sends.
Okay. Well, Natasha O'Brien, thank you so much indeed for talking to us on Drive Time. Can I say I'm really, really sorry that this happened to you at all. And I really wish you well.
Thank you so much, Cormac, for having me.